All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. My name's Doug Ford, and today we have with us Congressman J.J. Humphrey. Now, you may or may not know about J.J., but he's the man who has signed in the Bigfoot hunting season bill. It's caused quite a stir within, I guess, some of the houses, and it's causing a little bit of stir out there in your area of the woods. But we're going to talk about a few things today. We're going to hit the Bigfoot. We're going to hit a little bit of politics. We're going to talk a little bit about the border. And I just want you to get to, you know JJ and understand that you do have good men out there that are fighting for your rights. Good old boys who are not afraid to stand up to the man and to let them know that we're pissed off and we ain't going to take it anymore. So, you know, without further ado, Mr. Humphrey, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Doug, always a pleasure. Glad to be here. Just excited to get to talk about the things that I'm doing. Hey, I do want to, and you'd call me congressman. I'm just a state representative. Congressman's on a federal level, so I'm just representative. Right. And so on the state level, trying to do a lot of things. But again, so your listeners know, guys, if you go back and look at our founding fathers, if you go back and look at the Constitution, the states were the ones, the government is supposed to work from you, so we the people, from you, to state level, to the local level, to the federal level. But most of the strength should be down at the local level. And what's happened is we've seen that reversed, and now we're answering to the federal government. And again, I think there's never been a day that if we're going to see the salvation of our country and we're going to see things get turned around, it's going to come from we the people, everybody involved, and at a local level, demanding from your local politicians, and then local politicians demanding from our federal politicians to stop the ignorant bullcrap and to get back to the basic foundations of governing our country for the people. So I know that was a big rant to kind of get started to introduce me, but I just like to make sure that people know where I stand and what I think.
Yeah, no, thanks for correcting me on that. And people may or may not know this about you, but you're also prior law enforcement and still current.
Yeah. Right now I'm a reserve deputy. I've wanted to maintain that so that there's places that I would have a harder time carrying a gun in, that if you're a law enforcement officer, you carry a gun, one of those places be the Capitol. And so, I still maintain, have to do a little bit of training, not a whole lot of training, but I have to go out and qualify every year. And so I have about 30 years experience in law enforcement, either with the probation pro department, also as a drug court administrator, and then owning my own private probation company, as well as been a reserve deputy for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this is what's cool is, you know, when we talk about Bigfoot as guys that are, you know, I'm prior law enforcement and you're current still, you know, we talk about Bigfoot. We want to bring real validity to this investigation, which is what it should be. It should be done in an investigatory manner where we're bringing out the proper people. We're bringing out the proper equipment where we're, you know, we're making an actual goal here of bringing out evidence to the people. And if that's, you know, documenting foot spores or rubs against a tree or hair follicle testing, getting key witness statements, eyewitness statements, reviewing, you know, photographs and video, I think that's the way to do it. And I think a lot of these shows, and this is my personal preference, that go out into the middle of the woods, they're not going to film anything. They haven't filmed anything, but they all go out with the same perception that they're experts at what they're doing and that they're going to go out there and find Bigfoot and give them a great big old hug. And in my mind, and maybe this is just me as a redneck, I wouldn't want to go and hug a bear. And if a Bigfoot's bigger than a bear, I don't want to go hug it either, unless it's with, you know, a Magnum. And You know, I find what a lot of these people do is just crazy and dangerous to the extent, because I'm sure you've heard this, JJ, that Bigfoot is omnivorous. It eats fruits and vegetables, and then it also eats meat, and that it tracks and hunts down deer, and it runs fast enough to catch a deer, and then it'll rip one of its legs off and eat it. And the whole time I'm watching the experts tell me this is how Bigfoot eats, I'm thinking, where's your gun? You got all the cameras and you got the smiles and you want to go give Bigfoot a great big old hug. But what if he decides to eat you that day? You know, does your hug defend you? What is it that you're seeing out there in your area? Because I know within the area, there's a lot.
Here's what's funny, and I 100% agree with you. Hey, some of these shows, if you're looking for entertainment, there ain't nothing more entertaining than getting a bunch of hillbillies out there in the woods with a bunch of dogs and talking crap and going crazy, you know, going crazy on what they heard or this heard or here's this. The ones who come across, we're going to be more scientific with it, but doing the stuff that you're talking about, Bigfoot runs this. Well, how did you base that? Where did you get that evidence that Bigfoot does this or this? And so, again, one of the things that I did in running the bill, and here's what's funny, I just introduced the bill. I never actually got to run it. What I was trying to do is get the state of Oklahoma to do a tourism package, because Bigfoot is so interesting. It's been around for so long. It continues to be around. People are just entertained, interested in it. And so we have a place called Honubby, Oklahoma. And Honubby is one of the places for large, large sightings of Bigfoot. People have seen their stories come out over there. So, again, a lot of people just had experience encounters with what they claim to be Bigfoot. And some have real encounters, I believe. If you talk to them, I think that they're sincere in their encounter. And so, again, what I thought would be great to have a tourism to set up locations where Bigfoot had been seen to tell the story and give some real background on what had actually happened, and let people go out, come to Oklahoma, experience the outdoors. Again, hey, you know what? People who come out looking for are going to find a whole new adventure, and the adventure is getting out in the woods, having an experience with you and your family, you and your friends, four-wheelers, horseback, whatever you choose to do. That's the adventure. That's the excitement. If you ever get out in the woods at night and you are doing something like hunting a Bigfoot, you ain't got to find Bigfoot to have fun, because the adrenaline, the kick in, an owl hoot, coyote calls, you're going to have some fun. And so all of that is great. But what I did, I tried to bring in a tourism to look at this. And also, I've gotten in contact with some guys who do what you're talking about, and they bring it to a whole new level. They just bring it. So if there's a Bigfoot spotted, and if there's a claim of Bigfoot, they go GPS it. They go out and find out who was all there. What are the witnesses? What were the conditions? Was it dark? Was it day? Was it raining? Was it cloudy? Was it foggy? Are there prints? How far away were you when you seen it? Do you have photograph of it? They look for any kind of DNA evidence or any evidence that can be collected, as you just said. And they keep that on a file. And so, you know what, if you're going to talk about, oh, hey, we spotted Bigfoot here, they're going to go up and pull up and go, hey, that's the seventh Bigfoot spotting. They're going to go out and they're going to compare that and all the evidence and all the claims and all the eyewitnesses. And they're going to start saying, hey, you know what, here's some characteristics that are common, and we're getting the same report. And, you know, all of a sudden, we get validity to it, or we prove that it's not valid. And let's all agree, there's some people out there, I always laugh, the sightings of Bigfoot get stronger the closer to the bottom you get to that jar of moonshine. Or, you know, if you take a lot of methamphetamine, the sightings increase. You know what I'm saying? The more methamphetamine, the more the sightings of Bigfoot increase. We got to have a sense of humor, because there are some crazy folks out there that are either on drugs or got a little too much whiskey. and might seem something. There's people who don't need whiskey. There's crazy people who don't need anything. They're just crazy and see stuff and hear stuff without any kind of substance abuse issues. But then I'll tell you what, there's some very solid, solid people that you sit down and talk to them. And I'm going to tell you something. They had an encounter. They had an encounter with something. And many of them are convinced that they had an encounter with Bigfoot. And so, again, when we look at all the societies that have a sightings of Bigfoot, when we look at how many decades and centuries and how long this has been going on, similar reports over many nations, you know, I'm not saying it's real, but I'm saying I'm very open and I like to investigate and I like to say, hey, let's go out and find the facts and let's have fun doing it. I think that people can come to Oklahoma, look for Bigfoot, go to Hole Nubby, look for Bigfoot, buy a hamburger while you're there. They're awfully good hamburgers down there at Hole Nubby. And I think it's on Friday night, fish night, super good fish. But I'm going to tell you something. Drive up there on that mountain and look, and you'll never see a more beautiful sight. Get out in the woods at night, listen to them coyotes howl. Go down and get your fishing pole, hit the Kiamishi River. You won't find a more beautiful river. Hit the lakes, so Broken Bow Lake. We got Clayton Lake over there. We got Sardis Lake. If you want to come on over to the area I live at, we got McGee Creek Lake. And so this whole southeastern Oklahoma, pretty well known for Bigfoot and pretty well known for being God's country, probably one of the prettiest places there are in the earth.
Yeah, you know, and I'm an adventurous and an outdoorsman. And I think it's way better to take the family. You know, you got cabins that are all up there for rent. You know, they got a little a dirt racetrack out there if you like watching stuff like that. But it's not a well-populated area. It's pretty sparse, you know, and you're going to lose cell phone service while you're out there, which is probably really healthy for you. You know, but you can get out there, you can have fun in that area, rent your cabins. They're not, they're cheap. They're not expensive. And just,
if you want a really uptown cabin, hey, you can go over to Hoachetown. And man, they've got some awesome that you, you know, high end cabins if you want to pay a little bit more. But if you want to find some reasonable family type vacations right now, gas out of sight, everything's out of sight. You want to have a fun vacation. Come over here, find you a good, reasonable cabin, hit the lake, go to the beach on the lake, rent you a canoe, go down the rivers and go out and hunt Bigfoot. I'll guarantee. I will tell you, people do what I'm saying. You can't pay for a better adventure. You cannot pay for a better adventure.
Yeah. Have you personally ever seen Bigfoot?
No. I'm a guy who's been in the woods all his life. But now let me also say this: when I was a young man, they would find a bear occasionally around our area. Man, every once in a while a bear would come in, and when they did, it was a big, big deal. Right now, we're starting to have alligators come up here, and the first one, people say, oh, that's fake, it's fake. Now, nope, it's not fake, it's getting more common. Right now, bears, hey, they're all over the place, and if you're going in southeastern Oklahoma, lots of bears. If you get up here where we're at, we're starting to see more and more bears. I'm in the woods all the time. Guess what? I've never seen a bear. Never seen a bear. Now, let me say this. In Oklahoma, I've not seen a bear in the woods, okay? Now, that doesn't mean they're not there. It just means that I've not had an encounter with the bear. And again, I think that if I went out and looked and wanted to find evidence of a bear, that the more frequent they get, the more easily I would find that. And so, again, you know, that's the deal. How many Bigfoot are there out there? People say, well, we've never found any evidence. Well, what does evidence of Bigfoot look like? You know, I mean, so are you looking in the right places? Are you seeing the right things? Are you collecting the right things? I don't know. I'm not saying they are there. I'm not saying they're not. When I have an encounter, I'll probably believe a whole lot more. But right now I'm open to researching. I'm open to, you know, trying to find, is there evidence? Is there a real Bigfoot? Again, we've offered $3 million. So a guy named Phil Silva over there at Gasquatch, he's offered $3 million for live Bigfoot. Phil is a super good guy. Go by there. He's got a super. If you want to have a good time, just go over to Phil's place. Look around. It's very interesting. So if you're coming to southeastern Oklahoma, drop by Gasquatch right there in between Idabel and Broken Bow and check him out. But he offered $3 million. And again, so here that just adds to the fun. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll never forget when I first did this. I was interviewing or a couple of people's interviewing me. And they got to talking about how that they had started coming up to this part of the country where I'm talking about Hodenubby area, and that they started doing these hunts and how much fun it was. And then that their family started coming with them, their wives or kids, and they started. And so they would just plan on these trips, and their family started getting together and they started going. And this guy, one of them said, "Hey, you know what? I don't have a brother," or he said, "This guy right here is my brother. He's as close as family." And he said, "If I never see a Bigfoot, he said, "what we've discovered and what we've done." And he said, "here's the deal. How many people spend time with their kids?" He said, "I probably would have never spent time with my kids." He said, "we get off grid. We get out in the woods. We have a campfire. We all gather around there. We fix our own food. We float to rivers, we do all that, and we just have a great time out there enjoying nature and getting to know and experiencing family and friends." And I will tell you that guy right there hit, I mean, he nailed it. He nailed it. So, guys, whether you get out there and find a Bigfoot, so if you come to Oklahoma and you come to Hodenubby looking for Bigfoot, most people aren't going to find him. Most people have not found him. But I will tell you what you'll find. You'll find yourself, you'll find your family, and you'll find the outdoors, and you'll find a great experience. And that's what I'm saying is, if you find a Bigfoot, that's just extra cream in the pie. You know what I'm saying? It's just makes it even that much better. But be careful, for Pete's sake, be careful when you try to grab the dude. He might be a little waspy. You know what I'm saying? He may not be as high on going to Phil Silva's down there as you will be, you know?
Yeah, I think that's it's a great adventure, and it's way better than what we got right now. You know, people live their lives on their phones, or, you know, I would not be taking my kids to Disneyland or Disney World after all the stuff. Ain't gonna happen. Yeah. You know, I say get out in the woods. And one of the things I've been telling people for a long time, JJ, is like, you know, if you want to see a good cure for the problem that we have in this country, go back to the frontier times. You know, take your kids out in the woods, try and make fire with your hands. See how hard that is. Learn to appreciate stuff like that. And it doesn't cost a lot of money to do it. You don't have to save up 2 years for a 3-day vacation at Disney World. I think the woods is plenty of a playground enough. And, you know, out there in that area, and I remember I was listening to you on the Blurry Creatures podcast. I met those guys at the Timothy Alberino Birthright Conference. Good group of guys. The funny, good group of guys. And I remember listening to you, and I'm sitting here thinking, who in the hell is this hillbilly talking about Bigfoot? And I'm like, I got to talk to this guy, because I spent half my life in the Southeast Texas, West Louisiana forest hunting. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been told by my elders, there's no big cats in the woods. There's no panthers. That's what we call. There's no panthers. There's no mountain lions. There's none of that. But occasionally you'd be out there running your dogs, chasing hogs, because that's what kids do where I'm from. And you'd hear that yell. You'd hear that old woman scream and the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And you just go, okay, I'm in 4,000 acres of woods. There ain't an old woman in the forest. That's a cat. But you never see it. You never see the footprints of it, but you know it's there. And, you know, over my life, I've probably heard it at least probably several times. That may not seem like a lot to people, but when you are way back in the woods like I am, and I mean, a couple miles deep into the woods, creatures are out there that you never see, but you know they're there. just like how we have bear all the way down into that part of Texas, into the Sam Rayburn area now. Game Warden's been talking about it for at least 20 years. And it was back in, I think, 2012 when the Game Board, Texas Game Warden on the Texarkana line documented a hybrid of a cougar or panther, mountain lion, whatever people want to call it, and a bobcat. So there are things out there that, you know, they only occasionally get caught on game cameras. And, you know, this is what I would do is, you know, when we were hunting, we would, you know, we would obviously trap as much as possible. But we'd be baiting areas. Do people up in that area, you know, just set up like an old scrape a deer carcass off the road, throw it in a 50-gallon drum and put a game camera on it, see if Bigfoot will come by for a snack or, you know, what is it that people are doing?
Yeah. So there's these guys that actually do this kind of stuff that really go out and try to track Bigfoot. Man, they've got all kinds. You just it blow your mind all the new equipment and things that they do. And again, these guys can talk about how they do and try to set up places where they can find. Now, I didn't hear any of them talking about baiting Bigfoot, but I wouldn't doubt. I mean, that's a common thing that we all know how to do on animals here. You know, so again, when you go and they have a big festival there at Hoanubbee in October, and I'd encourage people to go. It's cool that time of year generally, and it's a nice time of year, and it's a great place to go. And so I actually talked at that last year, bunch of guys out there demonstrating how the equipment they use, and they've got trucks and everything else set up with sonar stuff and all kinds of stuff. Just really cool that bring it to a whole new level. And they're trying to get out there and get some evidence or proof. You know, it's funny you talking about that panther or mountain lion, whatever, when I was probably 11 or 12, they'd tell you, hey, and everybody always, oh, they're here. And others, no, that's crazy. And you're lying, you know, everything. And so one day we were out in our pasture, and of course, cows on our side had grass eating down pretty good. There's a hay met out just off on the other side of the fence there. And again, they cut hay on that thing one time a year. And so most of the time, the grass is up anywhere from knee high to waist high on that meadow. And you could see something coming across that meadow. And I mean, it's moving at a pretty good clip. You know, it's not running, but man, it's covering some ground. And you can kind of see it. And so me and my granddad and my dad, what is that? Mainly my dad and my granddad going back and forth. I was a little bit younger there, listening to them and kind of adding my two cents every once in a while. And all of a sudden, that thing come out on our side, come across that fence and come out on our side. And they wouldn't know that, you know, a lot of times you get this, I think it was, and maybe it was. There was no question. We got to watch this cat travel a long way down through there. It come in an opening. I mean, it hit that opening and it traveled and it was moving, wasn't running, but man, I'm going to tell you, graceful. And it was covering the ground and it went through a gate down there. And in that gate, you know, a lot of times the gates get a little muddy. And it wasn't mud. It was soft. It kind of dried up enough where it's soft dirt. And I'll never forget. I got to laughing back then. We'd drink water out of my granddad would put water in a milk jug and he'd put it in the freezers and he'd freeze those. And then when we went out to work, we'd put those where they'd melt. And then you'd just drink cold water out of them jugs and everybody drank out the same jug and everything else. And so he had a couple of those jugs in there in his truck. And we went down there to the gate, and I'll never forget my granddad. We spent a pretty good time cutting them jugs open and cutting out that dirt and getting enough dirt and sticking it in them. And it's just about the size of a milk jug. When you cut a milk jug in half, that paw print was just about that size. You know, you could get enough dirt around it, stick it in there. And, man, we got some I think, two milk jugs with some perfect prints in them. The mud was just right to hold them and everything, and we cut that out and we got those perfect prints. Of course, you didn't have phones back in, didn't have a camera with you, and still people said we'd lost our mind. But my granddad, he's quite the character too, and could spread a little yarn, and so he wanted to make sure people believed him on that. And since then, I've seen a couple out there, you know, but I'm getting up 56 years old, so in my lifetime I've seen three cats out there. Where we go, we go to a really remote area in southeastern Oklahoma. We got some land, pretty good sized place up there. So got a lot of timber, mountains on it and everything else. And I mean, it's wilderness. And so in my whole time of being up there, I've never seen a bear, and I've only seen three cats. And so I will guarantee you there's more cats up there. And I'll guarantee you there's bear up there. Now, people who got right across the road actually got game cams up. We don't have a whole lot of game cams. We got some watching some of the things that not really for game. We watch them more for thieves. So we've got some things set up like that. But they've got across the road from us, and they catch bear on them all the time. And so you know there's got to be bear. I'm sure the bear don't come up to the road and go, oh, hey, we can't go where that's. That's a Humphrey's place over there. Let's not go over on that side of the road. I'm sure there are bear over there, but they're just pretty good at staying hidden, staying out of the way. They're in rough, rough areas that you're normally not going to go up to. So, again, is it possible Bigfoot out there? Absolutely possible, you know. But, again, what's it going to take to catch him? What's it going to take to get some evidence? I don't know, but I will tell you that I have fun. You want to talk about a fun group of guys to go hang out with. If you come up here to this festival, you will meet some pretty and they're sold out. I mean, they in it. They want to catch Bigfoot, but they all have a sense of humor. You know, I hadn't dealt with one of them that didn't have a sense of humor. And I will tell you this. They had a gal up there, and I can't remember her name. But you want to talk about impressive. You want to talk about a tracker, understander. I mean, you talk about animals. Oh, it can't be this. That's such animal. Oh, it ain't that. This such track. She told me that she could tell the difference between two different, like, bird tracks, like robin and some other bird, you know. I'm like, that's pretty impressive, you know. And I don't have, with all the stuff she had and all the stuff she's able to talk about, I don't doubt one bit that she's not as qualified. As she proved that she had a lot of qualifications and that she was actually one of the national trackers, and she had all kinds of records. Very, very impressive person. And I, you know what I'm saying? I got to spend the day hang out with them. We went up there and done some chili cookouts, you know, just have fun, man. It's a fun place to go. And so right there, if you want to pull up Ho Chi Town, there's a lot of stuff to do in Ho Chi Town. They've got restaurants. They've got the brewery right there. Now, if you stop and get a little brewery, you're probably going to come closer to seeing Bigfoot. You know what I'm saying? So be careful there. Girls Gone Wine is there. They've got Jeep rentals. They've got zip lines. So there's a lot of stuff right there to do if you want to bring your family. And then, like I say, if you want to get out in the woods, it's all there. And again, you can go over there and have a pretty reasonable. If you want to go down to Hugo, they got cabins around the lake. They've got the elephant graveyard. They've got, you know, there's elephants over there that you can see, and you can spend the night in a cabin, and elephants bring you breakfast if you want. So lots of stuff to do there. Fort Townsend, really good, interesting, dope cemetery. We've got lots of things to do. There's several places, cabins, rentals around that are, you know, pretty reasonable price. If you come over here to Toka, we got it yet. September, we're going to put in a deal. Reba McEntire is going to have a place where you come hear music, get food. Going to have all kinds of different variety of things to do. So this part of the woods, this part of the area, you can come in, you can get a reasonable rate on rooms, motels, and you can do some things. You can go fishing. You don't have to have a boat. You can fish off docks. They've got beaches where you can go swim. And so all of that, low cost, no cost. And, you know, pretty much you can get you an ice chest and get some sandwich meat and go out and have a cheap, fun day.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, that's the type of stuff that I think a lot of us grew up doing. And I just wish America would get back to that. And I think maybe if we went back to that, we'd stop a lot of this harassing each other over every type of political issue that there is. Do you ever deal with the First Nations people on the Bigfoot matter out there?
With who?
The First Nations people, the Native American people out there. Do they get involved in any of this? Do they?
You know, here's what's funny. When I introduced that bill, my gosh, you thought I shot the Pope. I got calls. Hey, I've been on Australian radio, Australian TV, European, coast to coast, you name it. Now, here's what's funny. The Native Americans in places like Washington and the state of Washington and places like that, I had more conversations with them. At first, I laughed. Most of our native cultures around here thought they got a big kick, thought I'd lost my mind on doing stuff. But pretty quickly, they did kind of turn in to see that, hey, this is tourism. That, yeah, everybody agrees that you got to have your mind to lose it. So I'm pretty safe. I don't think it'll happen. But what people said is, hey, you know what? He may be hitting on something. Tourism is a big, big deal. And this is a big deal. And, you know, it's a family thing that people can come experience. But because of that, we have had more elders, like you say, people come out with backgrounds of. And so I think that's always interesting to see the culture and to see, you know, how this plays into the culture. And if there are. So, yeah, it's become more accepted and more talked about. And before we started, I talked about a guy who told me he had an encounter and that I had saved his life because now people are willing to talk about this. But you know what? Because of what we've done here in Oklahoma with this bill, I think people are having more open conversations about, are you just crazy? Because that's what, if you'd have talked about Sasquatch, Bigfoot before this, people wrote you off as just nuts and crazy. And so when I first come out, people just was like, you're an idiot. And I had people telling me they was going to run against me just because I was an idiot. And all of a sudden, though, we saw an uptick in tourism. And all of a sudden, you see towns like Hoachetown going all Bigfoot, going Sasquatch. And then all of a sudden, you start driving up I-35 and you start driving up 69 Highway and everybody's got a metal Bigfoot or everybody's got something Bigfoot or restaurant Bigfoot. And all of a sudden, people started saying, hey, this is a lot bigger. And then people began to talk about it. And then we began to have a lot of, you know, they already had a few things on TV about Bigfoot, but if you've noticed, you've seen a whole lot more now. So it's been a nation trend. It's been a worldwide trend, to tell you the truth. And so, again, people have began to discuss it. And so I think that now you're not just necessarily wrote off as crazy if you've had an encounter. And I think people are listening to people's encounters. And I ain't saying everybody believes them and everything, but I think there's been enough talk that, hey, something happened. And I told you about a guy who told me that he had just kept it all bottled up. And because of me coming out, that he was able to talk to people. And now he was able to tell his experience without people thinking he was just plumb crazy and that it's really helped him. And again, the guy told me what he had encountered. And I mean, this is a guy that has degrees. He's in a professional jobs. He's a law enforcement. I mean, this ain't no guy that just gets spooked, you know, a little. I mean, and he's a fair sized guy. So here's the deal. When he says he had an encounter, I'm believing he had an encounter. I don't know whether he saw Bigfoot, saw bear. I don't know what, you know, but just like you were describing, when you're in a swampy area and you hear that scream like you're talking about, hey, I'll guarantee you, I don't care if you're 14 years old and now you're 56. You'll never forget. You can take yourself back to right where you were when you heard that scream. I can take you back just like where I saw that cat when I was, you know, around 14. I can take you right back to the exact place, the exact gate, tell you exactly where he come out, tell you exactly how long we watched. You know, it was an encounter. I mean, it was a life experience. And, you know, that's what this thing's about. And that's what, you know, I think that, and I think it's why it's so popular. You know, but again, here's the problem in government. You know, if You can't have fun in government. You can't joke around in government. You can't even talk reality in government. You know, I mean, if you say anything, if you talk about the border and with any kind of reality, you're a racist. You know, if you come out against the woke, you're intolerant and you're an idiot. You're misogynist. You know, if you talk about transgender, you're a misogynist. You're a homophobe. You know, if you just believe there's a male and a female, you're a homophobe. You're a bigot. And so, again, that's part of the problem of our culture. We've become so ready to tear people down. Just destroy people for just making one comment. You make one wrong comment, man, the whole world will get on top of you, eat you for lunch. And here's what's funny. They don't even verify the comment. I made a comment when I got into politics. 6 days, I was up there at the Capitol. 6 days, I shut the entire Capitol phone line down, made national TV all over the world over something they said I said that I didn't say. And what was funny, I'd always go out and say, if you tell me what I say, I talk to you, you know. But they couldn't, you know, they said that I called, that I called women host. Now, the word host, and I looked it up for them, it meant gracious caregiver. So the normal definition of host meant gracious caregiver. You know what? If I called you a gracious caregiver, why would you be offended at that? And what I'd actually been talking about is a third party surrogate host, somebody who carries the baby for somebody else. It's a medical term that is a legit term. But the guy didn't say that I said third party surrogate host. What he said was I called women hosts like somehow they're carrying around a parasite or that they're, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Now, my deal is if you're killing a baby, maybe that's what you view it as. I guess that's why they got so upset. I don't even understand what they got upset on. I'm still dumbfounded, but I got death threats. You wouldn't believe it. I got all kinds of death threats, had stuff sent to me. People threatening to rape my family, my kids, threatening to kill. You wouldn't believe over, and here's the deal, it's all over a lie. Never said what they said I said. It was a complete 100% lie, but that's the way the media runs with stuff. And again, that's what the media has been taken over by one group, and they're so just propaganda. You know, they do not report the truth. Now, our local medias, I'm not going to say that about. We've got some local medias that's okay. But on a national level, there are very, very few that are going to report the truth. And even those that I would say are closer to reporting the truth are scared to take on certain subjects. There's very few. If you look right now, one of the biggest stories ought to be election fraud. There ought to be a huge story on that, whether you think it is or whether you think it's not. If you watch the movie 2000 Mules, my gosh, man, there's all kinds of things to talk about. And if you were an investigative reporter, man, you ought to be diving into that. Guess what? You ain't hearing a word on it. Not one word on it. And again, if you watch that, you're going to come away dumbfounded that our elections have been stolen. And the evidence they have to prove it and how they collected the evidence and how to verify the evidence, whole nine yards, it's in there. But whether you watch it and agree with me or disagree with me, I think we ought to agree. It ought to be the news story that's going on. And yet nothing is going on. Guess what? Wisconsin, I think, just changed made it illegal and said going back to 2020 that having drop boxes paid by large groups scattered out so they can cheat the elections are illegal. It was illegal then. It is illegal now. And I think Wisconsin, possibly Arizona, has come out with that, which would mean the election was illegally done because ballots were dropped in these drop boxes illegally. And that's what these states have said. But yet you're not hearing not one word on those illegal elections. And again, we've got videotape of people bringing in boxes. We got videotapes of trucks. We got videotapes of them putting up papers so that they can't view the ballots. And guess what? That right there by itself is illegal. as we have right now, protesting a federal judge, a Supreme Court judge, is illegal. But guess what? We're seeing video of them out there protesting. And what's our federal government? What's this AG doing? Nothing at all. Doing absolutely nothing at all when they're openly violating the law. But yet we're going to have a January 6th committee that, one, is illegal. I mean, here's the deal. They put together that. They ignored. They didn't let the Republicans put who they wanted on there. That's wrong. They took people who they knew hated the prior administration, put them on there. That's so biased. Anybody knows that. They allowed a girl come in the other day to do testimony that was secondhand hearsay. Again, that's not anywhere held up in court. So all this is to say, oh, we're going to come up with these findings that we found illegally. And by the way, if we take it to court, it'll be kicked out so quick, it'll make your head spin. If it wasn't, then we got a real problem with our court system, which we do. But here's what I'm saying is that, you know what? That's what they're drilling down on. That's what they're reporting. And they're not over here reporting that it's not maybe a crime is occurring, maybe a crime on federal levels that we've never seen. Guess what? And when you're talking about January 6th, why is it that we forget just shortly before that, they had ushered Trump, President Trump, into a bunker because they had police there in front of the White House, had police in front of the White House, and they had rioters coming up, and they were afraid that the rioters were going to get through into the White House. Now, we had that. We had a church burned right there at the same time. All that went on. Yep. What did they do? What did they do on that? Not one thing. Federal courthouses burned. Not one thing. Peaceful protest. Seattle, man, they go out there and they take over the whole dang town. About burned. I mean, put stuff up, tent city. Guess what? People couldn't get down the road just to get your groceries and things like that. And yet not one thing done. And now we're going to set up here and have when. And here's what's even funnier. They offered the National Guard. They said, hey, there may be a thing. Trump, President Trump offered that, refused it. Why is that not coming out? Where's that? Here's think about Ferguson. Think about all these places where police have, George Floyd, where police have been held accountable, Baltimore, for police choking somebody or shooting somebody or doing something, and all these investigations that's been conducted on the police. And right here in January 6th, here's a person who is a officer, shoots an unarmed retired veteran who had, were not attacking anybody, was not doing anything, was standing there, shot that person, and have you heard one thing about that? Nothing. They're doing absolutely nothing. So those are the things that we, the people, and I know I got off Bigfoot and got on a rant and rave about.
Oh, politics, let's go there. You know? Let's
hey,
go
you
there.
Know what? I'm very passionate about some of that stuff. And you know what? I love our country. I've been all over. I love the Smoky Mountains. I love North Carolina, Rocky Mountains. Golly, I used to go out there and hunt all the time. And, you know, the big lakes and things that you go to all over the United States. It's just, I love to visit, love to come back here in Oklahoma. I'm a southeastern Oklahoma boy, and always going to be. And so, again, but, Doug, I'm really afraid for our country right now. I really, really am afraid at the socialist communists that are trying to take over our country. And I believe that the majority of people voted for Donald Trump. I believe that the majority of people believe just like me and you and believe in the foundations of this country, which was founded under God, believe in the foundations of we the people and the freedoms that we have and are ready to fight for them or willing to fight for them. I believe that's the majority of the people. But I believe that we're being snookered by the propaganda media. I believe we're being snookered by agencies like the DOJ, like the FBI, who have allowed themselves to become corrupt and are now controlling the outcomes of a lot of these and trying to make false narratives and trying to turn around things like January 6th, which I'm not saying that was a setup deal, but it has a lot of it would not shock me to know that the FBI and that other people, agencies in our government, set that whole deal up.
Well, I
in fact, I'd be more shocked to find out that that wasn't true.
Well, yeah, and you'd be right. There was just an FBI informant that came out of the Kansas City Proud Boys who infiltrated them for a year and a half. And then on January 6th, he's inside the Capitol with the Proud Boys. And you can go to the Gateway Pundit, find the article, and you can read every text message that was and phone call that was sent by this confidential informant to his handlers in the FBI, that they weren't at the front of the spear for the charge into the Capitol. They didn't enter the Capitol for 30 minutes until after people had been in there. And when they went in there, they were trying to de-escalate the situation. Law enforcement even thanked them for de-escalating the situation between them and angry protesters. They were ordering people to, they had trash bags on. They were ordering people to pick up trash. Stop trashing our Capitol. We ain't Antifa. We ain't Black Lives Matter. Stop doing this. You know, this isn't the way Americans act. And they were policing themselves. They were policing each other. But yet it's in its verified information that the confidential informant told the FBI that. So that means that the Department of Justice, the assistant U.S. attorneys, the U.S. attorney, the DAs that are working the case, the other intelligence agencies are there, all know this evidence. That means that Nancy Pelosi knows that evidence. The House Intelligence Committee knows that evidence. And yet they're still prosecuting people. People are still locked up in the gulag in D.C. and they don't care. And I, JJ, I've been warning from the top of my lungs for months, we are marching ourselves back into the past and we are going to turn into Nazi Germany if we don't straighten ourselves out. And if we don't straighten ourselves out, we're only going to have a few options. One of those options is going to be allow the government to become completely totalitarian and screw your rights and you're done with. You might as well just eat the sandwich and be happy with it. Or it's going to be a civil war. I've been in war before. I don't want that again. I don't want that for my kids. And for all these foolish people who say they want civil war in this country, have never been there, never seen it. They've never been to a crime scene. They've never seen what real blood looks and smells like. They've never seen any of this type of horrific stuff you and I have seen before. They don't know about the real chaos on the border, which is something I'd like for us to bring up. But these politicians know it. They know what's happened. They know that they supported Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, apparently they're the president and vice president. I don't think they know that. But they supported Antifa and BLM. They were bailing people out that we were arrested. JJ, let me ask you a question. If you were present on the job, you're on patrol, and I decide I'm going to take a claw hammer and hit you in the head with it, is that deadly force?
Absolutely. If you kill me, you will be charged with murder. If you do not, you will be charged with either attempted murder or you'll be assault with a deadly weapon.
If I take this big red and I fill it up with some sort of a flammable liquid, set it on fire and throw it at you, is that deadly force?
Absolutely. And again, they call that a Molotov cocktail. There's a charge just for that. If not, you can be charged with arson. Again, if you threw it at a person bodily, if you spit on a person, you know what? I don't know if you got AIDS. I don't know if you've got some other disease. Guess
that's,
what?
That's there's still a simple assault. Yeah.
Assault. It's assault all day long. They've got that charge. So, again, here's the deal. That was being done all over the country. You know, here in Oklahoma, we had come to Oklahoma protests. You know, people say peaceful protests. I've got a friend that's got a business. She worked very hard to get her own business. She's married to a person who is Black. She's white. They have biracial kids, you know. Super good friend of mine. Great person. Guess what? They set her place on fire, threw a bunch of those firebomb like that into her place and luckily didn't burn it up. Caused about $18,000, $20,000 worth of damage. Went right across the street and burned sheriff's vehicles and did other damage up and down the street. But is that peaceful? That's not peaceful. And here's what's funny. If your Black Lives Matter and you're wanting to, you know, make a statement, you're burning people. I mean, burning somebody who's married to a Black person would, you know, and if you look at the places where they went and did all this harm, guess what? It wasn't in affluent neighborhoods. There are a few places like in Missouri where they broke through the gate and you saw it in an affluent neighborhood. A guy defended himself with a firearm, didn't shoot anybody, just defend his property, which was insane that they went after him and he ended up winning. But, you know, it's kind of like I lost my eye and lost my ear and they called me the winner. You know, if you had to go through all that legal bullshit that he had to go through to win that, when the law clearly states that he has a right there in Missouri, it states it here in Oklahoma, states it. But that's the kind of stuff. But here's what's even funnier. All that happens. They don't go into affluent neighborhoods. They go into your poor neighborhoods. They destroy the very places that they claim to protect. And here's what's even more funny. How did you know that was BLM? Well, I tell you, I know, because go back and see who bailed them out. Go look and see who bailed them out. Guess what? It's BLM. But people, not everybody who wants Black rights are BLM. Well, guess what? Not everybody is KKK, so don't put everybody with KKK. I'm not putting everybody with BLM, but you know what? I'll call KKK a terrorist group, and I'll call BLM a terrorist group. You know why? Because they are. Now, if you want to talk about equality and you want to get out and march for equality for all people, for all races, for all nations, I'm there with you. I'm 100% with you on that. But if you want to call BLM a peaceful protest group, that's horse shit, and I will guarantee you they're a bunch of terrorists. And if you want to say domestic, they call me a domestic terrorist. I'm not a domestic terrorist. I'm a patriot. Them suckers right there are domestic terrorists. I call it all day long. And that's what's going on, whether it's Antifa, whether it's BLM, or whether it's these other groups that are attacking the very fabric of our country, and they're going out against the law, and they're promoting lawlessness. And you know, the rule of law, and they're creating this narrative like it's the police officer's fault. Here in Oklahoma, they acted like, oh, hey, we're choking police officers, you know, making this big deal like, oh, police officers are shooting, you know, Black people. Well, here's the deal. I run the numbers. I put it in the newspaper. Here's the numbers. Astronomically untrue. So let's run the numbers. And here's where I'm at. If our law enforcement is shooting Black people, if our law enforcement are choking Black people, and there is evidence that says, or we're arresting, you know, wrongfully, then guess what? I think we have to look at that. I'm always willing to look at the numbers and to investigate, is there prejudiced people, you know? Well, but you know what? I just sent our Department of Corrections a Facebook post. So Probation Pro, which I used to work in, know a bunch of people, Probation Pro, the second highest director in Probation Pro put out a Facebook post saying that she was sick of white people and sick of police. Now, here's a lady that's over a law enforcement agency saying she hates white people and hates police. Now, guess what? Is that racist? Absolutely. All day long. And Department of Corrections did absolutely nothing to her. And so, again, racism can happen on all sides. I call it out no matter whether it's white on Black, Black on Black, Asian, Hispanic. You know, I'm not a racist. I don't approve racism, but we got to get to where we have enough guts to call it all out.
That's right.
And most people don't. Most people would not. 90% of politicians would not have the conversation. They'd be scared to death to have the conversation we're having.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent 15 years in the government, you know, between the Marine Corps and working for the Bureau of Prisons. You know, worked in four of their different prison systems on a complex, and, you know, 10 years in DHS law enforcement. And you would think that I would be a credible witness whenever I say the corruption is not where they say it is. The corruption is within themselves. They'll investigate anybody who chokeholds somebody for too long, put their knee on somebody's neck. Hey, a lot of times this is aggressive use of force, and I get that. And a lot of times it's a gross abuse of force at the same time. And I get that. And let's let them investigations come out. Let the use of force instructors, review these cases. Let the law review these cases and let the cases be done with the correct way. But trying to politicize everybody and hang everybody is not the way to do it. But that's the way a fascist government works. The problem is that the same stuff that this federal government says that all the local police do, and that, they don't like white cops. They want to end defund police. They want to do all this crazy stuff, but yet they'll allow domestic terrorists like BLM and Antifa and BAMF and all these other groups cause chaos and terrorize people across the country for 2 or 3 years. I have been working against Antifa in operations since probably 6 months before Donald Trump became president. So for 4 years straight of Antifa, I got to be very familiar with them, very familiar, especially in Portland, because it's the training hub for Antifa. And we know it. We know that's where people go when they get trained, and then they get spread across the country. And there's a little money tree called George Soros that pays for half that.
Sure.
Now, here's the other thing. They'll say that we did all this bad stuff, all right? But at the same time, the federal government won't investigate itself. They won't say that they're profiling Americans. They won't say that they're secretly listening to the communications of people. They're building up dossiers on people. And for what? Let me ask some, JJ. If a militia, let's say every militia in the country decided to go out and start burning down black businesses, you think the National Guard would get called up? You think law enforcement would say, hey, you're going to go in there and arrest those people? Absolutely. And the government would be willing to prosecute every single one of them. They'd be sitting 20 years in prison. However, you can be in BLM or Antifa and do the exact same thing, and they will bail you out. 200 felonious crimes just within Portland. Half of those, deadly assaults on officers, all released, not a day in prison, not a day. And I just sit here and I go, what the hell are we doing? What are we fighting for?
Yeah.
Why? And we now, had over 300 now, officers are injured. Not one thing from those politicians.
Not one done. Yeah. And then you got a 67. I watched last night, 69-year-old woman with cancer was at the Capitol, was just there on video, saying, do not take anything. Do not destroy that. Kind of like what you were talking about a while ago. Same deal. She's on video. Don't harm anything. Y'all cut that out. Don't do anything. And guess what? She's going to jail for 3 months, I think. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And yet you got these people like you're talking about assaulting the police. On camera assaulting police. On camera jerking elderly out of their truck and beating the hell out of them, killing folks, and nothing done. Nothing, not
one
at all
the,
done.
One of the worst
that's things, our federal government.
Yeah, one of the worst things I saw in 2020 was a guy pulling a horse trailer, and I think it might have been Oklahoma or it might have been somewhere
Texas.
Within. Yeah, might have been
Texas.
Yeah, yeah, and they threw a firebomb mm-hmm. into that trailer with horses in it.
Yep, I've seen that.
I mean,
ought to have their ass whipped. Ought to have their ass whipped for doing. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the deal, and people don't understand this. If you're a horse person, and just like a trailer, people think, well, that's just a trailer.
That's $70,000 trailer.
Exactly. And then when you got a horse like that you've taken care of and you've trained it, and now you're riding it, or your daughter is riding and she's doing well in barrels or something like that, you're not talking about you destroyed a trailer. You're not talking about is it wrong. I mean, you killed a horse there. You know what I'm saying? I'm no animal activist. In fact, animal activists are always after me. But here's the deal. Wow. And what do you hear from animal activists on that?
Nothing.
Crickets. Not a word. You didn't hear not a word from these idiots, animal activist groups. And instead, like you said, and so nothing done at all. We go on. I mean, you go case after case after case, and then you go up here. The only thing they have worked in the last 2-3 years, because that started even before the last 2 to 3 years. Here's what's funny. Go back to when Donald Trump first ran. Guess what? They're causing problems. They're riding outside of places. And here's the deal. Veritrout's caught all of that on camera, got it all where they're planning all that. They're setting all that up. You know, these bricks are showing up in places. How do you get bricks, piles of bricks out in the road for people to throw, delivered out there? You know what I'm saying? Things like that. It's insanity. Here's another thing. What's funny, people don't look at this. Now, you may look at it, but especially if you ever go into political and you're going to run a campaign. So one of the first things you learn is you got to get out there early, because you got to plan what your signs look like. So you got to design your signs. Then you have to submit that design, and then they'll create it and they'll shoot it back to you and say, is this what you want? And then you'll have to sign a deal saying, absolutely, that's what I want. And then they'll print those out there for you. And they got to do that so that if they print 100 posters, that if you turn around and go, well, I don't want that, you know, that's not what I want, then guess what? They say, nope, that's what you're going to pay for, because you agreed this is what you want. Now, that process takes several weeks. So here's the deal. How is it that you can get posters, all these professional made posters at a site that quick? It would be impossible. How is it that you can get everybody in the same t-shirt? How is it that Antifa shows up in the same? And here's the deal. You'll definitely know this. Hey, those riot gear that they wear, and they're all in the same type of riot gear. Guess what? Where'd you go to get all that? I mean, you know, how do you outwit people?
We would watch them. Yeah, we would watch them pull up in stage prior to a protest, prior to a riot. We would know they'd be calling direct action against a federal building, and we would be out there waiting for them with our bells and whistles and smiles and patriotism. And then they would show up with a U-Haul truck, and they'd be dumping out missile weapons. They'd be dumping out melee weapons. They'd be dumping out trash can. You know, it's a bunch of damn kids. Trash can shields and hockey pads, trying to dress up like Batman for one part of the year. And, you know, it's ridiculous. It's stupid looking, especially against us. But I'll tell you what, you get enough of all those guys together in all black, and one person throws a rock, you can't identify it. And the next thing you know, the rock turns into them throwing a knife at you. And then it turns into them. You know, one of the things they would do is they'd shoot ball bearings at you, steel ball bearings. Hey, man, if I hit you right in the soft part of the throat or the face with a ball bearing, that might kill you. And we're out there dealing with it. One of my bosses, he got hit in the junk twice in one night with steel ball bearings. Took him out for 2 weeks. You know, I mean, that could be a serious medical issue. And, you know, they'd take soup cans and throw them at you. And we had guys that get hit right in the shins with soup cans. And on the soup can, it'd say, all cops are bastards. And, you know, and this is what we dealt with. And we would get told by the federal government, stop being so aggressive. Stop gassing the city so much. Even had a judge write an injunction against us. Hey, you can't be gassing the city this much. But judge, we're here to protect you and your courthouse. It's had over $300,000 worth of damage just this month alone. And, you know, that happened several times. And, you know, people don't see the ins and outs of what we deal with. But you know that the federal government does. You know they're discussing it at the Capitol. You know it's being discussed at the vice president's meeting in the morning, then the presidential meeting in the morning. You know what's on the books. You know they're being told it. We knew that Trump knew it. We knew that Pence knew it. We actually finally had somebody at the vice president's meeting for our agency saying, hey, our guys are getting beat up. We can't keep doing this. We worked numerous days of 24 hours straight. In 24 hours straight, and then you'd get back to the hotel. I was a supervisor during the time, and I'd get that phone call. Hey, Doug, get your team ready. We need you back at 10. Like, we just got in at 7. This is dangerous. People are going to make errors. People are falling asleep driving from the hotel just to the federal building to stage for, you know, that day's work. And we had Antifa following our guys home. and harassing us at the hotel, or actually trying to knock you off of a bridge while you're driving. Nothing. And then the Biden administration comes in. And then they completely take away our assets. They start to take away our overtime. They start to take away our manpower. And I was on one of the last missions that was there. I was one of the tactical commanders for it. And, you know, by the time it was all done with, we had anywhere between 100 to 200 officers and a bunch of support. And while the rioting and protesting is still going on in 2021, they hammered it down. We had about 15 people. Had to serve warrants, had to go protect buildings. I'm like, we can't do this. This is dangerous. And they knew it was dangerous. And so I said all that to say this, man. If we don't do something now, people are going to start quitting law enforcement.
They already have.
Half the country don't trust law.
Hey, you cannot get highway patrol. You can't get, it's getting... And you can't blame them. I mean, you've been there. I've been there. It's a tough job when you've got the public behind you. But when they're telling the public every day, you're a scumbag, you're a prejudice, you are worthless, you're a bastard. And that's what, and again, I know the majority of people don't believe that. But when you're dealing with people now that if you, and again, you know, go back to George Floyd. Have people watch that entire tape. They had George Floyd right up to the door of the vehicle, and he started fighting. What they should have done, and what I think I would have done, it's always easy to armchair coach, you know, or call the shots. But I would have shoved his sorry ass right there into the vehicle. And because here's the deal. The dude is on dope. They know he's cranked out on dope. Look at his past history. Look who he is. I would have shoved him. And again, people, you better not call him sorry. I call him sorry. He's a sorry criminal. Shove him in the back seat. Take him down to the headquarters. Take him to the hospital if you need to go. But instead, why did they pull him out? Why did they take him to the back of the car? I'll tell you why I think so, and I don't have anything to document this. I think he took him out there because he's worried what the public will say, him trying to fight him and getting in a fight. So he comes back here, sets him down, trying to calm down, trying to talk. Ain't no talking to somebody strung out on dope. They're idiots. And guess what? He ended up having to fight him, and he ended up putting him in chokehold. Was that an appropriate chokehold? Probably not. I don't know what that state trains. I would like to go back and see what that state trains in. Now, the video, you've got people saying, hey, I think he's choking and needs to get off. The guy should have listened and probably did do a little excessive amount. But let me tell you something. Here's the deal. At best, that's manslaughter. If that guy wouldn't have been fighting, if that guy would have followed the law, that wouldn't have happened. And the deal is, it's manslaughter. Does that police officer who's trying to do his job, who is trying to protect the public, deserve to go to 20 years incarceration? That's the most asinine, sorriest ass thing you ever seen. It's just because people ain't got the balls to stand up and say this is just a political deal. They're worried they'll burn down the city. My deal is, if that's what it takes, burn the damn thing down. We're going to do what's right. Now, if the guy got a year, I probably wouldn't say, because, you know, year, 2 years, maybe even 3 years. If he got a 3-year sentence, I don't agree with that probably. But at the end of the day, you should have got off the guy's neck. You had people, even rookies were being able to see, hey, you cutting this guy's hair off. The guy died. Can you say that he died because of that air being cut off? No. And how are you going to find him guilty when, guess what? He's hopped up on methamphetamine and fentanyl. I believe he had fentanyl. And guess what? That's a common thing right now. Lots of people are dying from a mixture of fentanyl and methamphetamine. And if that's what he's taking, guess what? It's going to result in he can't breathe. It's going to shut his air and his heart and stuff down. And that's what happens. And I'm convinced that probably is what happened here. But he probably, if he just said, you know what, I don't care what the public says, I'm going to stuff his sucker in the back seat because that's where he needs to be, and got on down the road, we'd never heard of George Floyd. But yep. Look what we've done and made George Floyd the criminal that he is. He is a criminal. I don't care if he's black and I don't care if he's white. If he was white and had that record, I'd say the same thing about a white man. I'd say the same thing about a black man, Asian man. The color doesn't matter. It's the actions. It's what, you know what I'm saying? Martin Luther King said that he dreamed that there would be a day that I have a dream that one day that my children would be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Well, guess what? People don't listen to that, because here's the deal. When you judge by the content of your character and not your skin, it means when you do good, we'll judge you good. And when you're a sorry ass, we're going to judge you a sorry ass. Don't matter the color of your skin. But where are the people on both sides of the aisle, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, that are going to say, let's not look at the color of skin again? Now, I think that we have to look, and we go in and we see that people are being convicted 30% higher who are black. If that's the case, and we see that and we have the numbers, then we need to go back and look at that. But you know what we need to look at? Did they commit the crime? And is it possible that black people commit more crime at a higher rate? Because I will tell you, I've looked at Tulsa numbers, and 56% of the murders conducted occur there in a population mainly black, and it's black on black. So here's the deal. Why is the murder rate, before the police ever get there, why is that murder rate there? And again, I think that we have to look at, are there other factors involved? And it may not be a bias score. How about the fact that we don't have schools there? How about the fact that we have terrible schools there? How about the fact that we don't do any training? How about the fact that we don't do anything to shut down the drugs and the abuse that's going on in the street? And they're growing up in that. And what would you expect? And so, again, nobody wants to have these conversations because they're afraid that they'd be called a racist by the things that I'm saying. I'm not being racist. I'm saying, let's sit down with the black community and say, is it possible that these factors that I'm naming, education, training, jobs, are factors into a higher crime? Is poverty a factor? Is drugs a factor? Is lack of education a factor? A fatherless home, absolutely. Are these factors that create areas of high incarceration?
And where's the church at? You know, where's the church at? We are supposed to be providing some sort of a buffer against the evil that's out there. But churches, you know, a lot of the churches, we're going to keep Christ in the church. And if you want Christ, you got to come through the doors. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be outside of it. You're supposed to be bringing the good news to everybody. And occasionally that means putting your life on the line as well. But you know what they do? They say, law enforcement, you got it. You're going to talk to the mom and dad who's fighting over the kids, and you'll deal with the domestic. And you know, domestics are some of the most dangerous situations that you can be in. So you'll deal with that marital problem. Then you'll deal with the drunks. Then you'll deal with the illegals. Then you'll deal with the terrorism. Then you'll deal with the gangs. You'll deal with the narcotics. You'll deal with the child pornography cases, which is horrific in this country. You'll deal with the sex slave, which is horrific in this country. But you'll ignore whenever they start to riot, when they start to burn down cities, and you'll ignore whenever the Democratic politicians, for the most part, start to be caught up in their own crimes. We'll ignore all that. You take care of the rest of it, though. And that's not the way this society should be. The way law enforcement rhymes within itself is that the police police the public, and the public police the police. But nobody can tell the FBI they're wrong and they're corrupt and you need to fix yourself before we do it. Nobody can do it. And if you went out and you actually said it with authority, then they'll investigate you. They'll call you a criminal. They'll call you a terrorist, and they'll intimidate you. They'll incarcerate you. They'll bug your phone. They'll bug your email. They'll build up a dossier against you. Oh, hey, by the way, you missed a $100 payment 5 years ago from the IRS. We got a warrant for you now. The most bogus things that are happening from this government. And this government's been around for a while, this wicked government. And now you got these idiots involved, like Biden and Kamala and all these others. and they're just making it worse. And we, you know, we're over an hour, but we haven't even talked about the border.
Here's the deal. In everything we're talking about, absolutely correct, 100% correct. But, you know, even in talking in everything that we do, everything we're talking about, when you start looking at, all right, you've seen pictures of boats out and they can't get into the ports. They're backed up at the ports and we can't get things unloaded off on the docks and we can't get trucks in there and we can't get shipped out. And you go to the grocery store and guess what? The shelves are becoming empty and there's fewer and fewer products. You order something, a part for your car, and it's going to take 3 weeks to get into a tractor part. You know, you can't even get it anymore. Whatever. So that's called a supply chain disruption. It's called a shortage. And again, it is an attack on your supply chain. Now, a lot of people like to say Buttigieg is just that stupid. And I definitely don't want to say anything good about Buttigieg. But again, I'd say he's stupid, but I wouldn't say he's that stupid. I mean, that's a pretty easy problem to fix. You'd have to just be a total moron. So I'd say he either is a total moron or that's on purpose. Now, you take your choice, because I'd say he probably qualifies on the other, but at the same time, I don't think he can be that big a moron. And plus, there's other people around him. So that's to say his whole departments are morons. So we got a supply chain breakdown. Your food production, what's being exported, imported. Your regulations on producing food. And here's the deal. Your poultry industry has been taken completely over. Your pork industry has been taken completely over. And what I mean by completely, globalized, taken over by globalization. And you don't find independent chicken farmers. You don't find independent pork. You find commercialized. It's all commercial. They're trying to do the same thing with beef. And it's along the same trajectory. If you looked at how they did it to pork and you look at how they did poultry, they're doing it again to beef. And that's what their goal is to get totally commercialized, totally globalized, so they can control everything. They're looking at buying out property either through making government lands. Biden passed a executive order, 3030 land grab, they call it, 3030 land grab, where they're going to make 30% more federal lands that they're going to take over. So they're going to own 30% more of the private property. They already own 12. So when you look at them owning 42%, and then you can't come in with people like Bezos or somebody like Gates, and you say, hey, what are these big owners? China's coming in here and trying to buy up property, trying to put it in strategic places. So all of this is going on your food production. So we already said there's a disruption on bringing in your supplies. Supply chain has been disrupted. Your food supply disrupted. Your warehouses and your production plants have been attacked. You got about 90 of them have been destroyed in the last couple of years. No way that could be a coincidence. No way.
No way.
You destroy that many, get on fire, planes fly into them. So here's the deal. Your warehouses where you store food and your production places, like where you cut up beef and pork and so your production houses have been destroyed. So again, you got supply chain, you got your food production, you got your storage all attacked. Now Biden is releasing our fuel that we have in our reserves. So our reserves that we have stored up for an emergency, guess who he's giving that to? China. So he's letting China have to a entanglement, into a conflict, into a possible war. What happens in that situation? Guess what? We don't have gas. We don't have food. We don't have a supply chain. Guess what? We're going to be in a hell of a mess. Now, take all of that with the thought of that we just had COVID. Now, what is COVID? COVID was originated. Now, they said it come from a bat out there on the street. We now know that's horseshit. It would come from a lab. It come from a lab. It was leaked out of a lab in Wuhan, China. That's where it come from. That's what the origin was. So a China-run lab that was funded by, guess who, this group of the, in the administration now, funded, Fauci funding through there. So that group released the COVID virus purposely or by accident. I'd say purposely, but if it was by accident, that's fine. But what did China do? China froze all travel in China, meaning you can't leave Wuhan to go to anywhere in China. So guess what? They knew there was a problem in Wuhan, but yet they continued to allow travel to go internationally to here in the United States, and they infected the United States. Now, you can say it was released by accident, but you can't say that it wasn't sent here on purpose. They allowed it to come here on purpose. Same time, they're buying up all of the medical supplies, PPE, all of those things they're purchasing, buying it up, and turned around during the epidemic and released it out back to make a huge profit. Now, all of that being said, what you call that, that's a biological and an economic attack. Trump had them on their heels economically. This is what reestablished China. Anybody wants to look at what I say, you got to be a total moron not to see what I'm saying. And so all of this was done. So now we're getting supply chains cut off. We're getting our food production attacked. We're having attacks on our warehouses, storehouses. We're seeing our fuel depleted. We had COVID released on us. And we saw that not only a biological, but an economic attack. And now we have our borders as never before. We're seeing people pour into our borders. Now, let me ask you, who are those people? They're not all Hispanic like we think. They're coming from all nationalities. Who's coming to our country? If you wanted to march an army into our country, you could bring them one at a time right now. Not a problem. And that's what's going on. And then you add the fact that our country's being undermined. China is sending fentanyl. I mean, like you would not believe, through China, through Mexico, right into our southern border. So there, it's a war of drugs. It's a war of sexual slavery, human trafficking, and all of this other. When you look at all of it combined, when you take everything that I'm saying combined, you know what most people would call that? They would say we're in a state of war. Now, that's what I say. Now, y'all, everybody say, hey, you're crazy. But you go back in history and you see what when they're attacking a group. If you want to go back, one of the things, Napoleon was a pretty – go back and check Napoleon. Napoleon tried to go into Russia to conquer Russia. And you know what whooped him? It wasn't the Russians. It was the weather. It was supply chain. The dude couldn't make it. Guess what? And he couldn't support his army. He got too strung out, and that's what whooped him. And so again, if I'm not a general and I'm not a military person, you've got more military experience than I do, but I am a historian. I like history, and I do understand some things about firearms and those kind of things, and I do understand about supplies and supply chains and all of those. And guess what? If people don't wake up, the conditions are unbelievably right for us to have an attack on our country. Now, yep. That's what I believe.
And I completely agree with you. It's a logistical nightmare, and we're going through a logistical nightmare. And, they're already talking about masks are going to come back. That's happening in multiple countries. Sri Lanka just completely collapsed. Economy collapsed. They had an actual insurrection. You want to see what an actual insurrection looks like? Look at Sri Lanka. The president had to flee on a jet. This is happening in multiple countries around the world. The economy is under attack constantly. People will wake up when they can't buy breakfast. People will wake up whenever they can't buy fuel. They can't go to work. And by then, it's too late. Hey, let me ask you something before we go.
Yes, sir.
What do you think is going to happen with the midterms? Do you think they're going to try and steal it? Do you think riots are coming? Some sort of a false flag? What do you expect?
Here's the deal. I truly believe that we are going to see, as November comes around, I think that we're going to see somewhere around when we get through some of the runoff situations and it becomes evidently clear that the Republicans are on track to take back the House and the Senate. And I don't see how that can't happen. You know, I don't hardly trust any of the poll numbers out there. They're always in favor of the Democrat. And right now, if you look at Biden's poll numbers, even CNN had a poll number out the other day that 88% of the American public was opposed to Biden and 10% was for him, I think is what it's worded kind of like it. But anyways, 88% against him, 10% for him. And, you know, if they fudge those polls, I don't see how CNN can't fudge that poll. So if they're fudging it, it's more like probably 2%. And I think 10% is giving him some. Hell, ain't nobody could hardly be for him right now, I wouldn't think. But at the end of the day, do I see them trying to bring COVID or some pandemic back to try to disrupt? That's what that's about. It's not about, here's the deal. I got COVID. COVID's real. I got a friend that died from COVID. In fact, I've got two police officer friends died from COVID. I believe COVID was real. I don't believe either one of those had to die. I went and found, and it was really, really difficult. Kudos for a young lady, a doctor down in Texas, who against all the authorities stood up and gave hydroxychloroquine. I went down there. I mean, I was serious. I thought I was, I mean, it was ugly. And she doctored me. She gave me a kind of cocktail of different things, steroids, some B12, some prednisone, you know, but hydroxy was part of it. Within two and a half hours, turned me around. Now I didn't get completely, you know, good till, you know, it took 2 or 3 weeks to kind of get over it. But I'm telling you, I went from can't breathe to being able to breathe and being able, hey, I'm going to make it in about a period of 2.5 hours. Now this lady who is just a hoot, she is one of the best people, a great doctor. And she said, here's the deal. COVID attacks blood sugar, just like cancer. And that's why it goes after diabetic and people who have weight issues. And she told me I was fat and that she wasn't going to treat me unless I agreed to lose 50 pounds. And I didn't lose 50, but I lost 36. But I can tell you this, that I'd gotten operated on a couple of years before that, and I'd never been diabetic till I got operated on. And then I was diabetic, had cholesterol issues after I got operated. Didn't have any problems till I got operated on, other than what they was operating on me for. But had testosterone problems. I lost 36 pounds with her help. And guess what? I was good on COVID. My diabetes, I'm now pre-diabetic. I don't need testosterone shots, and my cholesterol, we're working on that one. But as long as I eat right, I'm pretty good on that. Guess what? And they attacked her, tried to take her license. I wrote a letter for her the other day to help her keep her license, and that's still going on. So are they going to use this pandemic and not allow people to get medication? Cheap medication that could solve the problem. We never had to go through any of that could solve the problem easily. I'm a witness. I'll testify all day. And yet a drug that had been around for 50 years, FDA approved, all kinds known for breathing issues. And yet they were outlawed. They were treated like criminals for trying to treat people and save people. To my knowledge, she treated people all over the United States. Thousands, never lost one patient. Come close to losing one, never lost one patient. Now, why is she treated like a criminal and this thing allowed to go on? So the people who died that didn't have to die, that's on our federal government. That's on them. It's on the Biden administration. Those were the idiots who pushed that. Fauci, he's criminal. He ought to be hung. Fauci ought to be hung. Are they going to try to do it again? I'd almost guarantee you they will try to do it, because guess what? They lose if we have a fair and honest election. They lose if we are not in turmoil. They cannot cheat unless we are in turmoil. And the way they got away with cheating last time, drop boxes, mail in, is because of, guess what? COVID. And so if you think they're not going to try to pull some kind of shenanigan, I'd bet tomorrow's lunch on it. I'll guarantee you they're going to try to do it. And we have to be aware, and we have to, we the people. And you want to tell you the number one state to look at who did none of this, no masks, no nothing. Guess what? South Dakota. And guess who's the number one economy? Guess who's being blessed more than anybody else out there is them. So, again, I'm proud here in Oklahoma that we stood up quite a bit, not as much as what I'd like, but we did stand up thanks to our governor. He could have stood up a little bit stouter, but I mean the dude stood up, and I'll give him kudos on it. Governor Stitt, we got a good economy because of you, and I appreciate what you've done. And, again, Texas is better than a whole lot. Florida is better. If guys, you want to see the places that are doing good, it's the places that refuse to fall under that kind of bullcrap. So, again, are they going to try to do that? Yes. Is the border a trick? Yes. Is the border to let all kinds of people in to overthrow an election, to overthrow people who are opposed to communism, opposed to socialism? Absolutely. I think it boomerangs on them, though, because I think a lot of people who's coming, you know, we're seeing the Hispanics. Guess what? Biden's down. They say he's got a 24 rating in Hispanics. I don't think he's got 24. I'd say that's him giving him some. So, yeah, it's going to. But I've agreed what you have said is people will not get off their butt. And one thing, last thing I want to say, and you addressed it a while ago, but where's the church? And the church, one, all politics can't get involved in the church. Well, if you looked at the Bible, guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego got thrown in the fire because they wouldn't bow to a king. Politics. If you looked at the book of Judges, it's where God rose up people to be over a country, leaders in a country. That's what we like to call politics. If you look at the anointing of a king, when God told him, you don't need a king, I'll raise up people. They said, oh, no, we want a king. Well, guess what? God sent his prophet down to anoint the king, pick the king. So here's the deal. When people say there ain't no politics in church, well, you need to read your Bible. And if you looked at what killed Jesus, guess what? Politics. So here's the deal, to sit here and say the church shouldn't be in politics. That's a moron that ain't read the Bible when they're speaking like it. That hey, read the Bible. It's all in there. They're definitely politics. Now, party politics, no. Godly politics, yes. Stand up for the principles of God. Stand up for the principles of God. And that's what we've got to do. And here's the deal. Today, you can't tell the church from the world. So a lot of people hear me say a few curse words, little rough words. Hey, go in there and find me where that book of cuss words is. I guarantee it says, thou shalt not kill. It says, don't take the Lord's name in vain. It says, don't have vulgar language. Well, what's vulgar? And again, maybe I don't need to say a few ugly words when I get passionate. I'll say, hey, I could probably work. Think we all can work on stuff. But again, what we're looking at, the churches, how many churches? I was doing a deal on transgender not too long ago. Me and my brother, who's a pastor, was going to try to expose the state superintendent on her pushing a transgender agenda through the Oklahoma schools. Went to call them pastors all around. You know how many churches acted like we were the problem? That's the reason people don't want to come to church. Y'all hate. You hate on people. No, I don't hate on people. You know what? I don't hate the drug dealer. I don't hate the guy that's on drugs. But guess what? I hate what they do. I'll arrest the drug dealer and I'll try to help the guy who's a drug addict.
You know? We hate the sin, not the sinner.
Exactly. I don't hate the sinner. I hate what they're doing, and because it destroys. But do you know that the majority of churches anymore? I'm saying majority. I think I'm right. I think there are more churches out there that embrace homosexuality, embrace transgender, then we'll stand up from a pulpit and say, hey, this is what God's word says. This is what God says. It's right here. Read it. We didn't write it. You read it. You go home. You can convince God that it's okay. Go ahead, you know. But we don't believe that. We know what this word says. You don't find people like that. You don't find pastors like that. And if you want to know what's wrong with this world and what's wrong with church, and here's where I'm at. If we're going to have our country delivered, it's going to come through an awakening of God. It's going to come through. That's what we were established on. That's what the foundation, go back and read the Declaration. Go back and read the Founding Fathers' papers and everything that this country was established on. It's under God, indivisible. Guess what? We got to unite. We got to unite on the principles of God. We got to unite on the foundation of this country. And when we do that, I don't think there's anybody can stand against us. But if we reject the foundations of our founding fathers and the founding of this nation, then I think we're destroyed. And that's right now I don't see any repentance going on in our nation. No. But I'm going to tell you what helps repentance is when you can't eat. I found it when people got nowhere else to go, they generally turn to God. And so again, you know, the Bible's full of that God gave people opportunities. And, there's men and women crying out right now to God saying, hey, deliver us, turn us back to you. And that's the only salvation in this country, in my opinion.
Yeah, and somewhere in this book called the Bible, there's a book called Lamentations, and you want to see a people be turned back to the hand of God, read Lamentations. But you know, in Isaiah, every time Israel screwed up, and every time God sent a judgment against them, His hand was stretched out. Still, eventually, in this country, our reprobate mindset—it's not a nature anymore; it's a mindset. We wake up reprobate now in this nation. Eventually, we'll be given over to it. We'll be given over to destruction. We'll be given over to new masters. Just like how you've seen all throughout the Bible, every time a nation was given over, God rose another nation to go and take over Israel or Judea every single time. Is that what China and Russia is planning on? Are they potentially an instrument used by God to make us come to heel because we become the whore of Babylon? You know, I personally think America has become Mystery Babylon. I personally think, as John the Revelator says, one of these days, the kings of the world are going to cry out because they can't get their drugs anymore from us. They can't get their porn anymore from us. They can't get their corruption anymore for us. Their lobbyists won't get paid by us anymore. They can't get all of our mineral rights just given to them. They don't have to buy it. Joe Biden just sells it to them. Oh, by the way, did you know that that company that sold our stuff or that got sold to, Hunter Biden's involved in it? Absolutely. That's his company.
And here's the deal. The deal is they've got everything. The FBI have sat on this laptop forever. And if you want to talk about child crimes, you want to talk about, treason. Our country's been sold out, compromised. Biden's on there, conversation he's having, saying that he is aware of some of this stuff going on. His son's involved in all of these transactions, brother's involved in transactions. It's been documented. I mean, he's on video saying, bragging about, if you want this $1 billion, you better shut this down and I'll be some bitch, boom. And he brags about it. And again, they're after Trump, quid pro quo, which is what that means. And there's Biden bragging about quid pro quo, sitting there bragging about it. And yet our judicial system, because of the corruption of DOJ, and again, here's the deal. You go in and you look at, I'd encourage you to go over and look at Psalms and I think in Proverbs somewhere. And just pull up, do a little study on bribery, when your judges are bribed, when your leaders are bribed, when they become corrupt like that, see what the result is. And the result is a crumbling. The result is corruption. And if you look at, corruption just means to eat away. It's a rust. It's you know what I'm saying? And that's where we are. Corruption is eating away at our very soul. And again, I think over in Romans that God talks about, he will turn you over to yourself. And I pray all the time, man, Lord, the last thing I want to be, don't turn me over to me, because I am a person who can be corrupted. You know what I'm saying? I've been an alcoholic. I've been pretty low in my life. And so I don't want to go back to where I was. You know, you talk about the hog returns to the slop and the dog eats his own vomit. And that's kind of where we are in a nation. We're in the vomiting stage. And unless the people who I believe are the majority will stand up and take it back away from these puke-eating, pedophilia, worthless individuals who we now have infested in our agencies, DOJ, FBI, CIA, all of these in our Pentagon, you know, in the White House, in Congress. These are the things. It's not just you're not going to do it in an election. So hopefully what I hope from this election midterms, I hope to see people who will go up there. But the problem is most of them don't understand this, who will go up there and clean out. It's not enough to clean your own, you know, I'm going to get an assistant and I'm not going to keep that same assistant. No, what you need to do is clean house. In Oklahoma, we need to go in and go to every agency and say, hey, get out all of you people. We're going to evaluate. And we could get rid of half the administrative staff and we're going to have a better agency. And the staff we leave, we need to evaluate. Are you a puke and are you the problem? Are you actually here to solve the problem? And I will tell you, get do that right there. And even those pukes will wake up and go, hey, we got to start taking care of business. They'll come around. Those straddling the fence that's trying to be players in that kind of atmosphere will come over on this side. And I can tell you that needs – so we need a cleansing from government is what we need. And, again, are we going to elect the people who have enough guts to do that? We've had people – we're going to have people going back from Oklahoma who've been there. You know, again, most politicians wouldn't call out a congressional person on a podcast on recording, but Mr. James Langford, what I've seen right now is I'd call you a coward to your face. I'd call you a coward of what you've been done up there so far. Will you go back? Because you're going to get elected. Are you going to go back and represent your people? Or are you going to go back and be yellow and ride fence and go with whoever, whatever dog hunts with you? Is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to go up there and do what I'm talking about, call out righteousness? Because you claim to be righteous, but you sure haven't shown it. You've showed yellow all the way through and through, and it's time you get up and do something. Mark Wayne Mullins, I've got more respect for you than anybody up there, and I think you're a pretty decent guy. But guess what? I think you could do a whole lot more of calling out what I'm talking about. It's in the DOJ. It's in the FBI. Call it out. Call your brothers and sisters up there to call it out. Now, I ain't saying you can do it. May take a president, but call it out. Call it out. And that's the way it gets changed. Yeah. So, hey, Doug, I appreciate you letting me come on here. I know we probably went longer. I know we could talk about this all day long. But again, you know, unfortunately, I don't know whether we're going to have people who have the guts to and again, I'm not trying to be mean to Mr. Langford. I'm not trying to be, I think I was pretty kind to Mr. Mullins. You know, yeah, I like what I'm saying. But Mr. Langford, I don't have much use for you. And I hope if you get up there, because the Bible says pray for you, and I'll pray for you, but I'll also not talk behind your back. I wrote you a letter. Don't know if you read it, but I called you a polecat and said you ought to resign. So just for your listeners, it's not talking behind your back. It's not, I call it out, call it to your face. And again, I can call that out. It's kind of like them drugs. I may not like, I can pray for the person while being opposed to the drugs. I can pray for the person while being opposed to their cowardice. And so that's kind of where I'd like to say, you know, before I get myself into too big a train wreck, I better stop.
Well, I just want to thank you very much for coming on. And for everyone who's listening to this right now, this is going to be on GSRadio.net. the Heroes Nation app, KYH 540 AM. It's also on Rumble and YouTube. Don't be surprised if YouTube completely scrubs this, gives me another strike. I'm off for a week. I'm always on their bad side because I don't give a hell what those people like or say. I don't get friendship pay. I'm here to do the Lord's work. And you know what, JJ, I'm glad that we have men like you that are out there that are trying to protect our nation. I'd like to get you back on sometime so we can talk about the border.
Hey, Doug, I'm looking forward to you getting a chance to come up here. Wait until it cools down a little bit hot right now, but wait till it cools down. Me and you get together and we'll roll up here and, over around Ho Nubby, Ho Chi Town, or take you up to Daisy on our place and do some four-wheeling and do some riding around. And, you know, again, if we find Bigfoot, that'd be awesome. I mean, you might take him, split $3 million. But if we don't, we enjoy each other's company and get to talk more about what we believe and building relationships all over the nation. And that's what it's going to be about. We, the people, each individual, standing up, doing the things that you're doing, patriotic duties, calling things out. And you know what? I think that we got to get like-minded people and unite together. And that's about relationships. So I'm glad to get to know you. And if you need anything, you give me a call.
Absolutely. If you want on this program, it's always available for you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got for you right now. My name is Doug Thornton. This is the American Vindictive Show. This is JJ Humphrey. Trust me, you will hear from Mr. Humphrey again. And support him and what he's doing. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We're out of here. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.